You're in the kitchen.
Let's go, everybody. Anna Bright, DTF Dylan Frazier, back for another episode of The Drop. Quick question, Dylan. Who do you think has better drops, me or you? That just came to me. Unplanned question.
Probably me.
Definitely not you.
I think I'm a more consistent dropper. Quality of drops, probably you. Consistency of drops that go in, I think me.
Do you know the percentage of drops I made in MLP Columbus?
I don't.
100.
100? That's pretty good.
I think my drops are definitely better, but your drive is better than mine, which is embarrassing considering I played tennis, but we've already talked about our current tennis pedigrees, and you are better than me, so checks out. So everybody, PPA Red Rock just happened. More paddle drama. No Ben, no Annalie at Red Rock, so lots of crazy results. I think a lot of people said this is the most fun tournament to watch. You know, we had, I think the story of the weekend, far and away, got to be Brendan Long. I mean, right, Dylan? Like, come on.
Yeah, he kind of came out of nowhere, almost. Played really well. I kept waiting for, I was watching one of his matches, his semifinal match in men's doubles, and I'm like, wow, Brendan's playing out of his mind. And I kind of just kept waiting for his level to drop, and it never did. Like, he sustained his high level of play the whole entire match, which I wasn't expecting, but he did, I guess, throughout the whole tournament, including on Sunday.
Yeah, like, we were talking, I was trying to say, like, you know, who's most underrated player a couple weeks ago? Obviously, it was Brendan Long. I just think this is so funny. So the people who have won gold in men's doubles this year, Ben Johns, Colin Johns, JW Johnson, Dylan Frazier, shockingly, Tyson McGuffin, and Brendan Long. Those are the only six now who have won gold in men's doubles. Isn't
Elite
that crazy?
Yeah,
no Matt, crazy. No Riley. You know, not even Tyson and James. Tyson and yeah. B. Long. You know, so is Tyson that guy? Is James the remora fish when Tyson's back? You know, what's your take there?
Yeah, I think Tyson is, especially among pro players, is underrated, not given it as much credit as he deserves. Like, I feel like he puts up pretty good results at every tournament. He's always deep in the draw, it seems like. I guess he had a stretch there where he says that he was a little unhealthy and maybe not getting results. And I guess that might have been where the talk started about his descent or his level of play not being as high as it once was. But I feel like he's always been there. And I feel like this past week in Red Rock kind of proved that he's still an elite player.
A week and a half after we called, the New York Hustlers called Brendan Long up to replace Tyson, which makes no sense to me. I think that's whack. Because it was like 10 days before Red Rock, and then he was signed up for singles, and I was like, yeah, like, but there's no way he's gonna play singles. Then the guy played singles and freaking wins, and I don't even think he dropped a game other than to Travis. You know, he was down a little against Pablo in some of the games, but pretty routine there on the whole. So the Muffin Man strikes again. Dylan, so Brendan Long is gonna go premier, right? The guy played the right and the left in the final, so he's a good mixed player. He showed he can play some singles. Where do you think Brendan Long gets drafted? I feel like he might even get like overdrafted because of all the hype around the guy now.
I think so. I think I would predict Brendan gets drafted late second round. In the late second round. Maybe early third round. In that range.
Late second round males in this draft were like Tyson and James.
Were they? Tyson and James were late second round?
They were late second round, yeah.
James
was the last pick of the second round. And then it was like, yeah. So the second round went James, Etta, Jackie Kawamoto, and then like Tyson I took.
I think he goes late second round, early third round, just because, like you said, there's a lot of hype around him right now.
Dang. Do you think that's over, though? Overdrafted?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you think maybe he should be like mid third-ish, you think?
Yeah. Yeah, I think mid third probably. He's playing pretty well. Like this last, if he plays like he did this last tournament, I think late second round, early third round is where he should be.
Who wins? Brendan Long and Tyson McGuffin or James Ignatowicz and Tyson McGuffin?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Probably I don't know. I saw Brendan Long working James in those dink rallies, so and maybe Brendan and Tyson.
Do you and James beat Brendan and Tyson where James and Riley lost?
Yeah, for sure.
I think so. Because I felt like I was watching the first game, like in the car. I was even in the YouTube chat. You've got to go in the YouTube chat, Dylan. I think it's a lot of fun. But I was getting so anxious in the car. And it's like, I kind of think James should have gone on the right because Riley's like, that's his only spot really is like at his body, like with the grips, if you just think about it. And I felt like Brendan was just rolling it well off of James's like dink, rolling the flick and kind of get jamming Riley up. And I feel like you or Matt or others would handle that a little better. I felt like, yeah. And James, I felt like they should have switched sides, but that's how they played all day. That's how they stuck it out. Be long. He's that guy, you know. We'll see what company snipes him up. The guy was begging for a paddle sponsor. We'll see. I don't know how it's gonna go. I don't know if Selkirk has any more money. We'll see. He uses a Yola. He might be joining me on Team Yola. All right, Dylan, would you take Brendan Long or Federico Staxrud on your MLP team?
I would still take Fed.
I take
Fed over a lot of people.
Yeah, fair. You know, that's your ride or die. And Fed did say that he would take you over Pablo, who is, you know, his teammate for the year. So I understand there's some loyalty there. How about Pablo Tejas? Pablo or Brendan?
For MLP?
Yeah.
Probably after Red Rock, I'd say Brendan.
Yeah. All right. This one is interesting. You're already on the team. You're the first male. Deckel or Brendan?
Probably. That's tough. They're close. I could go either way. Maybe Brendan.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay.
Who would you take as a female and all those different?
So you're already on the team. If me and you are on the same team, like we better do well.
What if it's just you? You're on the team and you get a choice between Brendan and Deckel or Brendan and Pablo, Brendan Fed.
I would take Fed.
Fed?
I'd take Federico, yeah.
And then who?
Then I would probably go Deckel, I think.
Deckel.
But if me and you were on the same team and we need another male and it's either Deckel or Brendan, then I don't know. Maybe Brendan at that point, if we've already
Brendan's ability to play both sides is kind of valuable in MLP because then whichever girls you get, you know, you can play both spots.
Yeah. So I don't know. But if I like first male, then I would go Deckel. Okay. Brendan or Travis? Travis Rettenmeyer.
Probably Brendan.
Yeah. I mean, damn. Oh, dang. Sorry. I hope Jason doesn't have to edit that out.
I mean, I don't know. Brendan was really impressive at Red Rock. I didn't watch it all the whole tournament, but he played really well. Like, I don't think that's a knock on Travis or any of the other players I've picked Brendan over. Like, he's just playing at a really high level right now.
Yeah, and he's kind of got every shot. He doesn't do anything too flashy, but he can do it all. I will say, when playing mixed with him, there was one net cord that I was like, bro, you got to get to that. And he didn't get there. That's all I'll say. But, you know, his singles was also good against AJ. I think he beat AJ like 6-2. So, Big H. Okay. Last one. Brendan or DJ?
If it were me, I'm on the team.
Yep.
Then I go with DJ because he's my homie.
Okay.
How about you?
I go be long for sure. I mean, they diced up Jay and DJ, which was kind of funny. All right. Next thing. What is up with Deckel Barr? Like, I don't watch too much men's, but I really thought, I'm like, okay, like, Brendan and Tyson pulled off some wins, but, you know, the magic's got to be done. Like, they're not going to beat Declan Collin. Then they do, and they smoke him in the first game. So, and when I watched the match, I thought Collin played well. Like, you know, it's no one can ever play perfectly, but Collin, I thought, was playing, like, way more aggressive than we're used to seeing him. I was pretty impressed. And, yeah, I just feel like Declan's pretty a little inconsistent sometimes. Like, why do you think what's your take kind of on?
I agree. I think Declan makes some really high level shots. I think it's just the consistency that he executes those high level shots with is sometimes gets in his way of winning a little bit. I mean, again, Brendan and Tyson played really well at this last tournament. I didn't see the men's final actually, so I can't really say what happened there, but I watched a little bit of it, but yeah, I think it just came down to the consistency. I think Tyson and Brendan are probably a little more consistent than Declan and Collin.
Declan missed a sitter to finish the match, like a very easy high forehand volley. Hurt. I felt for him. I was like, dang, that sucks. Sucks. But yeah. All right, this is another question. How do you think Collin Johns is staying premier in the next draft?
Do I think Collin's staying premier?
Yes.
Yes, for sure.
I've heard some people talking about this. I do. I think he stays. But I kind of wonder, like, how long will he stay? Because I feel like the competition is so steep right now to be premier and everything. And we've seen, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like, Collin's mixed. He doesn't even play mixed most of the time. He doesn't. His singles I found very impressive, except against Jade Kawamoto. But against Hunter Johnson, it was so funny. But he hasn't, like, if he doesn't have like one of those elite left side players, I don't know. Like, yeah. I don't see you and Collin being that great of a team.
Yeah. I don't know. Collin, I feel like Collin's a smart player, but he does need that kind of person that's going to play a lot of the court in men's doubles. I've seen him play the left side a little bit though. I think he's a little underrated on the left side because he plays well. He's not super aggressive. Doesn't go for a lot. He doesn't play like the traditional left side role that a lot of the other guys play. Got left side players play, but he's steady. He doesn't make many mistakes. Like, you got to come out and play well to beat him. And I feel like steadiness in MLP and an MLP environment is key.
So, well, then why do you think Rafa Hewitt is that guy? Wouldn't describe him steady. I wouldn't describe the guy as steady.
I would not either, but he kind of thrives in the MLP environment when the whole crowd gets into it, because the way he plays, like, momentum, I feel like, is also a big part of MLP, and the points that Rafa plays are like so crazy, so hectic every single time. Like, any point Rafa wins is going to be like immediate momentum on his side of the court, because he's scrambling from like no man's land in the baseline nearly every single point. So, like, I feel like almost every point Rafa wins is like a crazy, like, really fun point. So it's really easy for him to, if he's like down in a match, to get back into it, to get a few points. And also just kind of steamroll some players if he gets on that train and doesn't get off.
Round him up,
baby.
How much do you think Rafa's duper increases over the course of a point? I feel like whenever I'm playing against Rafa, the longer the point goes, the more stressed out I am. It's like, just because, you know, you're like, shoot, like when he gets in scramble mode, I think there's like a 0.25 increase there sometimes.
A 0.25 duper increase in the middle of a point.
When those points get scrappy, Rafa just reaches another level. The guy's whack, you know, the guy's a lefty, the guy sits forehand when it's like, of course the ball's going to get set up through the middle to his backhand. And he's like, then he's doing like, you know, behind the backs and stuff. But it's just like, oh my Lord, I'm going to lose this point.
Yeah, it makes you tight, because if you lose the point that he's gonna go crazy, his partner's gonna go crazy, the crowd's gonna go crazy. So like, it's tough. Like, all the energy, all the momentum's gonna be on their side, and he plays almost every single point like that. So like, every single point he's got a chance to like have all that momentum, all that energy, all the excitement on his side for winning the point.
Yeah, no, guy's a dog. Another impressive, I thought, you know, on the women's side, Susanna was obviously super impressive in mixed. Didn't have a great day with Lacey, though, but that was like a boom or bust team a little bit. Susanna to premier, I was in between choosing Susanna or Lacey was my thought, and now, like, shoot, like, obviously, I'm not saying I wish I didn't choose Lacey, of course. Like, me and Lacey and actually, and I, subtle plug, not only are we the best performing women's doubles team at MLP, by point differential, we are the best performing team, better than Ben and Tyler even. So, wow,
what was your point differential?
It's like 56.5.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yes.
Well, it's the best, obviously.
Our record is 8-2. So just, you know, just plugging myself, you know, just want everyone to know that, because Dylan wasn't going to tell you, because Dylan's his only source of news in pickleball is memes of pickleball.
That's the best source of pickleball news. Like, where else are you supposed to get it from?
And me, half an hour before we're supposed to record. Dylan, have you seen this? I saw it on memes of pickleball. I feel like Susanna's right in that mix. We didn't even talk about her last week, but I mean, in mix, she's a total beast. I feel like James and I, a big reason that we were able to beat her and Zane, we didn't play our best for sure. But it's just because of James's vertical jump. So she could not lob us. That is one thing we did not have to deal with. Both of her lobs got shut down immediately. And it just, I think that being one thing that we didn't have to think about was huge, because I hate playing Susanna. Everybody hates playing Susanna. After the match, Leia texted me and James after she lost Susanna. She was like, congrats, you guys survived the Susanna show. I was like, I know. We almost did it, but we did. Thank God.
That was a three gamer.
It was a three gamer. And we were down at the switch, maybe like 6-4. End up winning 11-7 in the third.
And your previous round was a three gamer too.
Yeah, against Declan Lucy. I think we also won, like, I think we won that one like 11-4 in the third, though. That one was a little cruisier. I think in mixed, I think Declan over Ernie's. I think that's one thing that something that I think you might do too much.
You guys were in three games against Maggie and Hayden. You guys played a lot of three games.
We did. We really had to fight. Like, I hate playing Hayden in mixed. I did a tweet about it. I said, like, I think Big H is my least favorite male to play in mixed. Everyone's asking me why. I'm like, Big H is just way different. I was like, all I'm going to say is he's called Big H for a reason. I hate playing Hayden. I'll say it on air. You know, Hayden stays premier next year or the next season. Put him against me. You know, honestly, I don't like playing Hayden. I don't know why. He gives me a lot of trouble. More than you, for sure.
Does he earn you?
You know, he didn't this match, but he has in the past a good amount.
Okay.
Something about the guy. I don't know. I don't know why I love Hayden, but he gives me trouble. So you and James. Someone asked because I'm taller than him, and I was like, I don't think that's it, but it could be a factor. It could be a factor.
That's
and
fine.
Maggie's super tough. Yeah, and even our first round, like, we beat Todd Fought and Allie Phillips 11-9, 11-2. I think Allie Phillips is really good. I think she should be in challenger. Also had a good week with Will Sobeck in APP Mesa. But we didn't play our best on Thursday. Played a lot better in the final. But
final was three games straight.
Three games. Another three gamer, but this one was good.
Took care of business.
Yeah.
Who was your – when you saw that you were going to play AJ and Jesse, were you excited? Or, like, when AJ – did you guys play before or after AJ, Jesse, Riley, and –
We were before.
Okay. And after you guys had booked your ticket to Championship Sunday, who were you hoping to play in the final?
Probably AJ and Jesse.
Okay.
Yeah. Just not to have to deal with, like, Riley.
Yeah.
I would rather, like, dink with Andrea than with Jesse. But obviously Riley, if he's just on, is, like, super scary. So,
yeah,
and I feel like I do pretty well on AJ. I think just because I stand so far off the line, it's kind of hard for him to get me with the flicks because I don't have too much pace. So I can avoid getting jammed pretty well. Who did you think would win the final? AJ and Jesse and James.
My prediction was for you and James to win. I didn't think you guys would win in three. I thought maybe four or five games, but I was predicting you guys to win.
Yeah. I mean, the second game we really should have lost, but I felt like once I kind of settled, you know, we were fine. But Ben Johns posted a tweet that morning, predicting all of, you know, everyone he thought he was going to win. And he put AJ and Jesse instead of me and Nate. Really? And I was kind of like, bro, come on now.
Did you tweet back at him?
No, I didn't engage. You know, I took the high road. I was like, I'm going to keep it classy. I'm going to stay focused. You know, I'm not going to get rattled by this alpha male behavior. You know, but I was like, is he trying to get in our heads? Because I really felt like me and James should definitely win. Was, you know, at least our mentality going into the day.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know. Because someone asked him about it and he was like, oh, that one was the closest. Depends on which AJ shows up. I was like, depends which AJ shows up. Depends which James shows up. Like, James is, if James is playing well, I think it's scarier than AJ, personally.
I think James, though, his level of play is more consistent than AJ's.
Probably. I mean, I feel like when AJ's, like, mentally there, he's, like, very good, but he can go a little in and out. I felt like in the third game, like, Jesse and AJ disconnected a little bit, like we've kind of seen in other tournaments. Yeah. But the rest of the tournament, you know, they were there. In the final, they were there until that last game. So good for them. Happy for them that's, you know, that's going a little better, it would seem. Also, I just want to say that the morning, or I suppose I should talk about my women's day a little bit. So me and Viv got fourth, a bit of a disappointing result, but we lost to Ed and Megan, who played amazing. I think Edda is the female that I struggle with the most, other than obviously Anna Lee. I just really have a tough time attacking Edda. You know, she is being coached by Dane Gingrich, you know, the guru. So I might have to either enlist his services or just really start to, like, I don't know, figure it out. I feel like there's a lot I need to work on the whole, but Edda gives me the most trouble, I will say it. But we beat Catherine and Andrea in the quarters. It was unfortunate that was a quarterfinal. We were losing. We're down a game in 5-0 in the second, proceeded to 11-5, 11-2. They've played great. I did kind of reach God mode, though, I have to say. I kind of went off. I started playing Unreal. Couldn't maintain the level, though, obviously. And then against – the scheduling was horrible that day. Like, Vivian and I finished our quarterfinal, had, like, a four-and-a-half-hour break, finished the women's semi. We were the last match on at, like, 9:30, played bronze. We were done with bronze at 10:30. Callie and Lucy wanted it way more than us. I was really slap happy. I was cracking tons of jokes. Still played pretty well, but definitely was not all there. I went for like four flicks, 0-for-4. I was trying to stay on the line. I was working on stuff a little bit.
but my one-handed backhand flick.
Yeah, you know, it's gotta come out eventually. I did hit one against Catherine and Andrea, and it like hit the tape and just landed in the kitchen. Then after the point, they laughed. Catherine was like, with one. And Andrew's like, I know. It's
like, that's like so rare in women's doubles, one-handed backhand flick.
I know, but I've been
probably caught everybody off guard.
I say it's pretty good, but it's improved a lot in the last, like since Austin. Cause in Austin, me and James warm up like an obscene amount. And throughout the day, I was just always hitting it when he was hitting thirds and something kind of clicked for me. But yeah, not match ready. I do it a lot in practice though. Still make jokes that it's the best in the game. And obviously it's definitely maybe the worst.
What do you think, about the PPA's process of putting like every single quarterfinal and semifinal match on center court, especially during like men's and women's doubles day? Like it can drag on a long time. You can be waiting for hours to get your match. Do you think they should play some matches on other courts?
Yeah, they need to put them on grandstand for sure. Like, I think on mixed day now, like things are moving pretty fast. It's not that bad. But on gender day, like, you know, I shouldn't be finishing a bronze at 10:30 p.m. It's like ridiculous. This is what I wanted to say. So James had already left because he had, you know, didn't want to stick around that long and, you know, kind of upset about the semifinal loss. And so he just like put the car keys on my stuff while I was playing. I put the keys in my bag, put the bag in the car, go to open the door. The car has locked because I don't know why. The car locked, the rental car locked. So then there are no locksmiths available in St. George, Utah at, you know, 11 p.m. So thankfully I was able to, and my phone was almost dead. Thankfully Vivian and Emily Ackerman were able to give me a ride to the hotel. But the next morning, the morning of championship Saturday, I'm like, James still asleep. You know, this is, you know, I handle this stuff. My Uber locks. I'm like waiting in the cold for an hour for a locksmith. And these refs are like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I just love the game. You know, I just want to watch some amateur singles this morning at 7:30 a.m. We had a bit of a hectic morning. And I thought that when Cameron Blackwood asked James, like, about what we talked about over breakfast, I thought he was going to reference, you know, my heroic efforts to get us into the car so that, you know, we could get James caffeine. But he did not mention that. So just want everyone to know I did do that. I guess that's my my little tournament recap. And, yeah, I don't know why Ben thought AJ and Jesse were going to beat us. Like, and he said it with his whole chest. I was like, maybe I'm a little deluded. I have been told I'm a little cocky and probably am. Dylan has even told me that. But, you know, what you going to do about it?
So, you gotta tweet back against Ben. You can't let him get away with that.
I did tweet back against Ben, okay? Someone, Pro Pickleball Fanatic, said I had the tweet of the week. They tweeted, like, Ben tweeted, so what pick does B Long go in Premier now? I responded, above you probably. And my tweet got more like likes and stuff than his.
Yeah.
And there was that memes of Pickleball Post comparing them, you know. Ben Johns never played on Championship Saturday. Brendan Long never missed a Championship Saturday. That was truly amazing. So Brendan Long, number one pick of the draft. That would be, nothing would be better than that. All right. I guess we should touch on all this paddle stuff. Like, I feel like everyone's talking about it. I'm kind of sick of talking about it. But this week we had more paddle drama. Leia Jansen just went on another podcast, you know, because she is, of course, I feel like the whistleblowers in pickleball are like Leia and Rafa. They're the people.
Rafa? Yeah, Rafa.
Yeah, Rafa. Rafa's in challenger paddle. He's going to do, you know, he's going to be chirping.
Unless he's at the U.S. Open. You might think twice about that.
Yes. Say Rafa Hewitt played against someone whose paddle was so, so illegal. Do you think Rafa would challenge it with the current U.S. Open policies?
Probably, yeah. I mean, if he knew it was illegal, I don't know. No. I feel like no, because I think when he challenged Zane's paddle in the Daytona PPA tournament, he said that it, like, tested negative in one spot or something, but like the other spots were below the limit, so Zane's paddle was on average fine. So I think he doesn't trust the system enough to challenge it, even if he knows that it's illegal.
Yeah, no, it's fair. So for those who don't know, the U.S. Open released their paddle testing policy. Dylan and I are not playing in the U.S. Open because we are signed with the PPA. But their policy is that essentially, if you challenge someone else's paddle, somebody is losing all of their, like, results, all their prize money, and they're getting banned from the U.S. Open for a year. And it all depends on the result of the paddle test. If the paddle passes, the person who challenged is banned from the U.S. Open next year. The paddle fails, the person whose paddle failed is banned for a year. So that is just, like, it's just ridiculous. And I think this is USA Pickleball's tournament. They set the paddle standards. Why are they making it so difficult to enforce them? You know?
Yeah. The penalties, yeah. Super harsh penalties, especially when, like, accidents can happen. Like, sometimes players aren't gonna be using a delaminated paddle, or like their paddle can delaminate while they're playing with it. So sometimes it's unintentional. So for the penalties to be that severe is definitely unnecessary.
Yeah, and then it's like, I can be totally certain someone's paddle's broken, but then it's just like, I don't want to be banned for a year or lose, you know, your points and your money. And it's also like, hypothetically, say, like, I am using a super illegal paddle and I play in the first round, like, someone, you know, whose name, like, no one knows, and they challenge my paddle. It's like, is USA Pickleball gonna, like, fail my paddle and, like, ban me, or ban, like, someone that no one will ever think twice about, you know? So I would be, like, wary to even test someone's paddle. Cause you're not there with when the test happens, you know, you don't know. There's no way to know. So that policy is very, especially for delamination. Cause I don't know if they're going to have a machine on site or if it's going to be like this week at the PPA where a couple paddles got tested but you know, they're getting sent into a lab. It's like, you just don't know. And that's a lot of faith to put in other people when you can't even like be there to potentially, you know, not be able to play in the biggest tournament, one of the biggest tournaments of the year, especially if you're unsigned. So
I think the way the PPA is going about it with the fine is probably the best course.
Yeah, like a significant, but not significant, like nothing crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it should be that much to challenge it. Like, if you want to challenge someone's paddle, and if they're using an illegal paddle, like, you should be able to challenge it with little consequence. But then, like, if you're on the receiving end, like, if someone's challenging your paddle, there can be instances where you didn't know it was illegal. Well, I haven't ever used a delaminated paddle, so I don't know. Is it like, if you're using it, do you know you're using a delaminated paddle?
I think
like,
I think for those who don't know, a delaminated paddle, like in simple terms, is just a paddle that has broken. And with the new thermoformed paddle technology, it gains power as it breaks. Whereas most paddles become dead as they're used over time. These paddles, as they break, become more powerful to the point that it's like a safety concern and you're hitting so hard, it's like beyond reaction speed. Essentially, it produces essentially a trampoline. It sinks in, rockets off. You know, there becomes a point where you can't control it, but you're hitting so hard, and it has an identifiable sound when the paddle breaks. I honestly think the most obvious sound I have heard of it breaking was watching the APP Mesa, and Shelby Bates's paddle was so far gone. It was so far gone. You also have some
carbons. And she was using it.
Yeah. You also have some carbons. So like, there's no way you can't know at that point. It's like, you can't control the ball. Like Chad, Simone's husband on the broadcast, was making like little comments like, oh, and she shortened her swing there, but still managed to hit the forehand harder than she's probably ever hit it. Like, but he's not going to outright say it. And I said something in the chat, as were some other people, about the sound of it. So I think there comes a point when you know for sure. But there's like, you know, some gray area when it's like, it's starting to break and you don't know.
Do you remember when we played Tropical's little tournament in Florida at the Gates House?
Yes.
And I was using that paddle that was making a really loud noise. Was that a case of delamination? That paddle was.
It's funny because, Anna Lee was saying that yours was delaminated because the sound was so loud. And I was like, I think his is just broken. Like, I don't think that paddle is doing him any favors. I was like, I don't think he's hitting harder at all.
Yeah, it didn't give me any more power or anything.
Like, yeah, it was just so loud. That would give me an edge. It was so loud. I don't think that was delaminated. But this is a great segue into, so Salome Davidze, Leia and Elise Jones both accused Salome Davidze. She was using a Vatic Pro. They both accused it of delamination. Tyson also got accused of using a delaminated paddle by Travis Rettenmeyer, and he uses an 002, but his is like painted different. It's like, you know, the white and gold. White paddles is like a whole separate thing. It's definitely pretty annoying to play against. And I, you know, at MLP, warming up with Tyson, there was one day when he was using the white and gold paddle and like we were wearing white uniforms, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't see a thing. So that's a thing too. And Tyson has said that some of the 002s have delamination issues, but I haven't seen it. Yours did break, but I don't think it was delaminated. I think it was just broken. So I don't know. I thought the way Travis, you know, approached it was really professional, other than that he decided to record the video shirtless. It might be more professional though to record videos like that shirtless than in his Sunday swagger shirts. I don't know which is less professional, but I thought what Travis said was interesting, and also because Travis is also a Selkirk sponsored player, and he was like, I've never had that happen. And you know, this is another issue, like, should pros be able to use paddles like that aren't released? Because like, you don't really know. You can kind of paint anything to look like anything, and that's what happens in tennis. A lot of the pros have custom different rackets, and they're just painted to look like whatever the stock model is. So
yeah.
Paddles and pickleball is like a whole issue, and I think it'll continue to be unless we get the ability to test immediately on site. Yeah, it's funny.
Is that coming?
I mean, we can with grit now, but I still feel like the systems could be better. It's, I don't know. Delamination needs to be able to happen on site, because Vivian actually played on Women's Day with, not with a power series, but with a normal, the old carbon paddles, because on mixed day, she said one like broke mid match. And then in Women's Day, I feel like that hurt us, because the carbon is a super soft paddle, and she wasn't doing as well in hands as I feel like she usually does. But her paddle broke, and she just didn't trust that another one wouldn't break. So it was the right call for her to use it, but it's like, that would give me tons of anxiety, you know, not knowing if or when my paddle's going to break. I mean, I don't think that would give anyone more anxiety than you, because watching you play with a new 002 was the most tragic thing I've ever seen. I don't know if we've talked about this before on this pod, but in Mesa, Dylan was using a new paddle and the guy sucked. Like, you were horrible.
Yeah, I was having a hard time out there for sure. I think part of the problem though was that I was using paddles for way longer than I should have been. Like, I was so used to playing with an 002 that was, you know, 6 months old or something,
six
and
month
like
old,
super
Dylan.
Dead.
6 months old. How something long did like, you sign with Selkirk?
Like, I don't know, 6 months ago.
Maybe. So you say you used one paddle in 6 months?
Yeah. I've been using that paddle for a long time, so that was the problem. I got traded out a little bit sooner because the difference between a six-month-old 002 and a new 002 is drastic. And so I was having a hard time with it, but my system of swapping out paddles has upgraded now, so hopefully it's no longer a struggle.
Dylan is like the chillest guy, everyone. So he's, you know, he's a man of the people. Just look at the guy's hair. You know, this guy's fine. He'll use a paddle for 6 months, you know, and his paddle still didn't delaminate after 6 months. I don't know what was going on with Tyson's, assuming, you know, what Travis said was true, but I don't think he lied. You know, that was just his interpretation of what was going on in that match. Yeah, it was so funny though, when you were here in Florida using your broken paddle, that sounded horrible. You were missing all the time. And it's like, do we need to start a GoFundMe for Selkirk to send Dylan another paddle? Like, yeah. Dylan's like, it's fine. It's like, just ask, they'll send you a paddle.
Yeah, I was fine with using it, because I felt like it wasn't really hitting differently than a regular paddle. It was making a different sound, which is annoying to some people. Like, my only worry was that it was bothering other people that I was playing with, and like, if someone asked me to switch it out, I would switch it to the other one. But that was in the middle of like a 4, 5, 6 week trip for me, so I wasn't well equipped to handle any paddle losses during that.
They'll ship your paddle to the Johnson's house.
Yeah, but too much effort. So
too much effort on your part to send the text to ask for a paddle, or too much to ask the company that sponsors me too.
On my end, I'm pretty lazy, and I was, like I said, I felt like it wasn't a big difference. So,
you know how many paddles James uses a tournament? Or James gets per tournament?
A lot.
What do you think?
I know when he was using the 002A, like, I feel like it was a new one every tournament.
He got three in Red Rock. So.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit overkill for the 002. I feel like for the 002A, I think I remember him saying that the grit would wear off really fast, so he had to switch it out often, but I feel like the 002, it's not three paddles per tournament worthy.
You don't hit as hard as James. He just whispered that, wanting me to say that to you. Actually, and say I get three tournament. So, is there anything else, James, you want to say about how you're the golden boy? No, he said no.
Enough said.
Yeah, so, this is also Tyson's first ever time getting double gold at a PPA in his career. I thought that was an interesting little nugget. Congrats to him. The most electrifying man in sports strikes again. Dylan, okay, our last topic that I have planned. Mr. Noah Rubin has left pickleball. I don't even think many people knew that he entered pickleball. For those who know, who don't know, Noah Rubin was like, around 130 in the world in tennis, which is a super, super high like ranking to have achieved. Even more impressive considering he is 5'9". which is shorter, just hardly taller than me. And I am saying this in jest and as a slight roast, but it's like super impressive because the serve is so huge in tennis. So to be that good at that height is super impressive. The guy was a total stud. Then he announced in October, I believe, that he was entering pickleball. It's funny because me and Noah actually have the same agent, but like he has that agent through tennis. So Josh, my agent, asked me, he was like, would you ever play mixed with Noah? Like, he asked me this in October. And I was like, why would I do that? And he was like, he's going to get good. Like, it'll be great, you know, be like great marketing. And like, he'll be, but I was like, I don't think so. We'll see. I was like, we'll see. But the guys played like 5 APPs, won 0 matches in doubles or mixed. I think he's like 2-6 in singles, like something like that. Like nothing too great. Then the people he beat in singles weren't that good. Greg Dow even said that Noah Rubin is the worst person he's played in a pro draw in months. But Noah said in his exit, you know, announcement that he's returning to tennis. I'm happy for him, you know, go where you need to be. He said that on a given day, he could beat someone in the top 5 or top 10 on a given day. Isn't that so funny?
That is funny.
Dude, like I tweeted something. I was like, Lord, like went around at an APP first. Like, don't be absurd. Like, come on now. Don't disrespect us that hard.
I remember seeing Noah. The first time I saw Noah was at like the Columbus, Ohio MLP. I don't know why he was there, or if he's from that area or what, but someone's like, that's Noah Rubin playing over there. Everyone said, who? And they're like, Noah Rubin, like, he's a really high ranked tennis player. He's going to start playing pickleball now. And I just thought it was going to be another case of a high level tennis player coming in to the pickleball scene and being decent, but like needing to refine his game a little bit before he reached that elite level. And then after Columbus, like I didn't really hear or see him again until now when he's leaving pickleball.
So yeah, I feel like when it comes to tennis translating to pickleball, I'm just built way different. Joking. I feel like once you cross a threshold of tennis, like a level you've reached in tennis, it all just comes down to your level of pickleball talent. And obviously Noah has crossed that threshold of tennis. Like, I feel like probably just getting to like a D2 level of tennis, probably D3, I should say, like getting recruited, playing like D3 tennis. At that point, it just comes down to how good you are at pickleball, because you have the strokes. It's just like pickleball talent. And obviously like Jack Sock looks like he has it. Noah, I don't even know how hard Noah tried. My impression wasn't that he tried too hard, but you know, it's just like your hands, your anticipation, you know, your like fast twitch muscle, like reaction speed. So I don't think people say like tennis players are just going to take over. I don't know that that's true, because it's just like, how talented are you? And I think you have to be obsessed. You have to be addicted. And I don't think Noah was addicted. I think guys like Noah and Sam just kind of came in thinking they'd just be really good off the jump. But you got to be addicted.
Yeah, they'd have it easy.
You got to be addicted. You got to actually play a lot and watch a lot to get good. And you've got to be at a time in your life when you can do that. Like, I was lucky to be at a time when I was kind of looking for a job when I found pickleball so I could play tons of hours a day. Then when I found the job, I didn't start for a couple months. So I think that's part of it.
Right.
And so Noah has left. Some said that he bashed pickleball on his way out. I didn't really think so. He just made some comments about, you know, how he thinks pickleball could differentiate from tennis, yada, yada, yada. I just thought that the comment that on a given day, he could probably beat someone in the top 5 or top 10 is funny, because most of his following is tennis players. And he just, you know, it's like, why not say that? Why not?
Yeah.
But it's like, bro, like, you suck. Like, let's look up his duper right now. I actually didn't do this beforehand. I should have, but let's see if I can get out.
What's your prediction?
What's your prediction? I'm going to go, I think he's going to be overrated. I feel like when you play in pro brackets a lot, you get overrated. I'm going to guess.
I'll say 6.
6-0. I'm going to guess 5-5, 7-5. For reference, everyone, I'm a 5-9-3. Noah Rubin. 5-8-6. In doubles.
Yeah.
I don't think that's accurate. I think I would eat his nuggets. But yeah, so bye-bye to Noah Rubin. And yeah. Do you have anything you wanna you know, bring up, Dylan, anything on your mind? No. Oh, I've got to say, Etta Wright and Megan, congrats on the gold. They played unreal, if I didn't say that already. And I think that they will continue to do well. And the Seattle Pioneers are looking really tough to beat if you can't beat them in women's doubles.
Yeah. Now I think we covered all the hot topics that have popped up between our last podcast and this one. Next tournament, Newport Beach.
Yes.
Who are you playing with? James.
And Andrea. But I think that I'm going to play the right. Me and Andrea haven't talked about this, but I think that I just want Andrea to just, I am Maggie Brasha. And just, Andrea, go off, sister. I'm going to reset. I'm going to look to pull a little bit with my forehand. But I feel like, because last time I played the left mostly, I feel like we should try it the other way this time. So that's my thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. Let Andrea do her thing, because she can be pretty dominant.
Yeah. I think that's, like, I was so impressed with her at MLP, and she was giving me and Viv a lot of trouble, like, until I got really hot. So I think that's, we should try it that way.
Yeah.
Also an interesting team to watch in Newport. I don't know if we'll talk more about Newport next week, but Georgia is playing with Tyra Black.
Oh, yeah. Really? Nice.
Yeah.
Do you play with Tyra, like, on a weekly basis?
It's tough. It's like, we get home and I don't even, like, want to play rec. I just drill, do my thing. Don't play too much rec, but tomorrow I am. Tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. Tomorrow I'm playing with Georgia, Tyra, and Millie.
What's her trajectory been over the first couple of tournaments that she's played? Like, is she getting better?
I think she's getting better. Yeah. But I haven't really watched too much. Federico, James and I saw, like, no one on mixed day, because we just kind of play, go to the car. Didn't really see anyone all day. Tyson and Catherine had a long day. They got fifth. I didn't even see him. And then I saw on gender day, I see Federico. He's like, oh, there you are. You came out of the cave. I was going to imitate his accent, but then I decided to not even try. I was like, it might not be a good look. I was like, oh, yeah. So I didn't really watch too much, but I know that her and Jill lost 11-9, I think, in the third. To Jesse and Irina, really impressive. They lost to the Brashas in the backdraw after winning a couple rounds. So I feel like she's got to be improving quickly. I feel like this next draft is, I feel real lucky to feel like, you know, not in jeopardy of falling into challenger, because I feel like there's a lot of people on the bubble, and there's a lot of people on the bubble of even getting into challenger. So it's a stressful world right now, a little bit. Pickleball. And I think pickleball is only going to get more competitive.
Yeah. James asked me a question on his podcast. How many players will be in the top 10 3 years from now that are currently in the top 10 now? What's your take on that?
On the men's side?
Or women's?
I'm trying to think. Like, I don't even know who the top... I feel like in women's, it's like right now everyone is so close in level. You've got, like, Anna Lee, and then you've got, like, probably, like, me and a couple others who are very closely grouped, like, in just a second tier, maybe, like, three of us. Then there's, like, everyone else is just, like, right there. Like, it's so close. And I'd say maybe five on the women's side, I think, will stay in the top 10. On the men's side, probably, like, three or four. Four or five. I think it's more likely that more women will stay than more men, just because I think that...
Really?
More men are, like, coming into pickleball, I feel like. Okay. So I think there's just going to be a higher level of talent that comes in just by the way numbers work, if more come.
Yeah. It's hard to say. I probably agree.
Who knows where we're going to be very soon. Steve Kuhn wants to come on the pod, everyone. I think we'll make that happen soon. But, of course, Dylan is having me set it up, and I just don't know if me and Dylan are ready for a guest.
We're ready for a guest. We can have Steve. Yeah.
Yeah. First guest, Steve Kuhn, founder of MLP, Duper, and Dreamland. That would be pretty sick. So that's probably in the works soon. But all right, Dill, got anything else you want to say to our beloved fans? Hopefully my audio is better this time, guys. Jared from the kitchen, what a doll, got me a mic. Hopefully it worked, but anything else you want to add, Dylan, to everyone? Your mom wanted me to get you to talk more. I feel like I shut my mouth a little better this episode.
just want to say thank you to all the beloved podcast fans of ours. Like you said, thanks for tuning in.
And Dylan loves you guys. All right.
Yeah.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening. The Drop out.